Welcome to Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast, Episode 16, The Two Worlds of Christendom, Medieval Europe and the Byzantine Empire. If you would like to submit a question for the podcast, you may do so by calling the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH or by emailing mrjeffrion@gmail.com. Let's begin. Towards the end of the classical era, there was a lot going on. Kingdoms were being overthrown, empires dissolved, and new ones arose. But there were also some places where there was so little to take worthy note over that they actually got named the Dark Ages. Most historians agree that these Dark Ages were caused by the loss of productivity and decline in arts and literature after the fall of the western half of the Roman Empire, which we will cover shortly. However, before we get there, let's talk about something that is not discussed in much detail in many history books, but is important to success on the AP exam and understanding of world history: feudalism. Feudalism is basically a set of legal and military customs popular in Western Europe in the Middle Ages, along with Japan, but more on that later. If you're reading Traditions and Encounters by Jerry Bentley and Herbert Ziegler, the book's stated definition is a gross oversimplification. And in this podcast, we will term it more as a complex system of relationships between lords, retainers, and peasants. Lords keeping control of land, mainly through the use of retainers to protect their areas of control, and peasants providing portions of goods and food for those in superior positions, and also by paying rents that kept the lords and retainers in business. The relationship was heavily reciprocal, that is, each side depended on the other. In fact, it was peasants who made up the majority of Western European society at the time. So one must not keep some false image of knights in shining armor and princesses with cone-shaped hats stuck in their mind. The Western European feudalism is also frequently compared to feudalistic society of Japan, so keep that in mind. Feudalism was medieval Europe's way of keeping somewhat of an orderly society in the absence of any centralized political control. However, while the beginning of the era was marked by a decrease in population, after the 8th century, both Western and Eastern Europe's population was actually starting to increase, mainly as a result of an influx of goods from Muslim lands. During this period of little centralized political stability, one of Western Europe's Germanic kingdoms did try to attempt a centralized state, the Franks. The Frankish kingdom reached its high point under Charlemagne. The Carolingian dynasty, as it was known, never acquired the full administration capabilities of many of the post-classical empires. Charlemagne actually spent most of his reign on horseback, crossing from one end of his kingdom to the other. Nonetheless, he was an efficient conqueror who made exceptional contributions to education reform, an irony considering that Charlemagne was believed to be illiterate. Charlemagne was so well regarded by even neighboring dynasties that the ruler of the Abbasid Caliphate, Abu al-Abbas, once sent him an elephant as a gift. Another fact concerning Charlemagne that is very important to European and world history is the fact that he was crowned emperor by Pope Leo III, setting a standard of how exactly powerful a pope was allowed to become. This serves as an issue even in today's society, the struggle between a secular government and a religious church. Future kings and popes would continue to vie for power throughout the Middle Ages. Many stories suggest that Charlemagne only reluctantly accepted the emperorship and was concerned that being crowned a Roman emperor would cause trouble with the Byzantines, since they considered themselves Roman, and their head of government, the Emperor of Rome. After the western half of the Roman Empire disintegrated under a lethal amount of pressure from neighboring Germanic kingdoms, the eastern half continued to thrive under what historians now call the Byzantine Empire. The Byzantine Empire experienced economic prosperity, as it was headquartered upon a very strategic port, Constantinople, or as it is known today, Istanbul, Turkey. So the Byzantines had access and control of goods from all over the world. When thinking of why certain empires were or become successful, one of the main reasons in the post-classical and classical ages was always location, location, location. Constantinople was the meeting place of many different societies, including Europeans, Muslim merchants, and Asian traders as well. Constantinople was also a center for artistic creation. Founded by the Emperor Constantine, most known for his conversion to Christianity, Constantinople also became a site of religious value as well. Rulers in Byzantium ruled as absolute rulers, and following Constantine himself, ruled through a policy of Caesaropapism, which meant that not only was the emperor the supreme secular ruler, meaning the ruler of political affairs, but he played an active role in religious affairs as well, something we later see as an important impact on the division between Eastern and Western Christianity. While Constantine is a key player in the classical age, the most important emperor in post-classical Byzantium was Justinian, most noted for his extensive revision of Roman law, which had influenced European, Japanese, and American law codes later on. His wife Theodora came from humble beginnings, but rose to be one of Justinian's most trusted advisors. She is also an excellent example of how even in a patriarchal society, women could take control. The topic we will complete in this podcast is the increasing complexity of Christianity and the Great Schism of 1054. During this era, another important theme involving Christianity was the rise of monasticism, which was an increase in monasteries and what their role was involving not only religion itself, but the local community. Monasteries had many purposes. They served as orphanage, education centers, and even as inns for travelers. They also contributed to the spread of Christianity as well during the Middle Ages. By the way, if you are the least bit confused on exactly when were the Middle Ages, they are defined in history as roughly the 5th century to the 15th century. It's the time that takes place between the classical era and the modern era. Going back to changes occurring in Christianity, two titles essential to understanding the changes are Pope and Patriarch. The Pope was the religious head in Rome, while the Patriarch was the religious head of Constantinople. While the popes at first operated closely to the emperors of the Byzantine Empire, they eventually started to claim more and more independence and wanted to distinguish what they thought of as the real Church of Rome and the one to the east. The patriarchs were powerful, but did not get to experience the same independence as the popes, and instead operated more to the wills of the Byzantine emperor, and they had to support imperial policy. Iconoclasm also sparked disputes, iconoclasm meaning the breaking of icons. While in Byzantine, Emperor Leo III embarked on a period of destroying all religious icons and claiming that they were unholy. Basically, they constituted idol worship. Back in Rome, theologians regarded icons as perfectly acceptable and took offense to the iconoclasts. So after many events and disputes, in 1054, the Patriarch in Constantinople and the Pope in Rome actually mutually excommunicated one another, kicking each other out of the church. And there was born what we know now as Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodox Christianity. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Remember to keep studying your textbook. Check out all the supplemental materials on MrJeffreyOn.com. And check out John Green's Crash Course World History videos on YouTube. He has videos on the Byzantine Empire and many, many of them concerning the Middle Ages. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffreyon's World History Podcast.